Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. I'm very encouraged by the activity of the Trump administration. The activity seems to be focused on taking care of America. Every nation in the world knows we're no longer a sit-back-and-watch nation. Since our nation doesn't have any perfect people, there will certainly be mistakes made, but there are now a lot of actions that are good for us. I'm looking forward to the changes in our military. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Any plans for traveling this winter, Skip?
I'm not going anywhere, Colonel. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to sit in front of my fireplace. I keep my living room about 85 to 90 degrees, and I just survived the Michigan winters. I look outside, see all the snow, the cold, and I just smile because, hey, spring is on the way.
And you've got two sons you can send out to shovel.
The shovel and get more firewood.
Okay, that makes sense. Here's what we have for you today. On news and comments by the Colonel, I'm going to just share how the land of Israel was developed by Israelis, not Palestinians. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Congressman and retired General Jack Bergman will then share his insights in what's going on in Washington. Air Force veteran Dr. Ryan Freeland will discuss his time in uniform. Greg Wrightstone will discuss climate change and a children's book on the subject. And Marine vet and former Border Patrolman Gil Mazza will discuss our southern border. That's exciting.
All right, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for the news and comments by the Colonel. First, let me comment on four indications that our nation is getting more efficient and safer. First, President Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, led by Elon Musk, has successfully cut off the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, blocking top officials from access to international systems and securing the agency's headquarters. The move, part of Trump's effort to dismantle a deep state control, has sidelined and entrenched bureaucrats and frozen the agency's financial operations. And Trump has again demonstrated his ability to bring world leaders to the negotiating table, forcing Mexico and Canada to take aggressive actions on border security after both nations initially tried to fight back with trade retaliation. After threatening steep tariffs, Trump secured troop deployments and new enforcement measures to stem the flood of drugs and illegal migrants into our nation. Next, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy is facing serious legal questions for openly admitting he had taken an individual whose immigration status has yet to be resolved. His remarks, which appear to have challenged federal authorities, have drawn the attention of Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, who has promised an investigation and possible prosecution. And our military recruiting last December set an all-time high. It appears that leadership absence has been involved, and now it appears to be fixed. Okay, now it's time for the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has wasted no time in taking action against retired General Mark Milley, revoking his security clearance and personal security detail. Milley's been credibly accused of treasonous conduct. Additionally, Hegseth has ordered an inspector general review to determine whether Milley should lose a star in retirement for actions that weakened military authority and disrupted the proper chain of command. Milley's actions, including his interference in civilian leadership decisions and other policy failures, is unacceptable. Under the previous administration, he retained his clearance despite reports of conduct that compromised the authority of elected officials.
I totally support what our new Pentagon leadership is doing. There's a lot of cleaning up to do there, a lot.
And on January 30, our Central Command forces conducted a precision airstrike in northwest Syria, targeting and killing Mohammed Zalah al-Sabir, a senior operative in the terrorist Haras al-Din, an al-Qaeda affiliate. The strike is part of our ongoing commitment with partners in the region to disrupt and degrade terrorist efforts to plan, organize, and conduct attacks against civilians and military personnel from the U.S., our allies, and our partners.
I support the strikes to take out enemies and terrorists. We should be attacking all al-Qaeda groups nonstop.
And NATO believes strengthening its presence in the Arctic could address U.S. interest while enabling its participation in the initiative. Trump's views on Greenland are seen as valid, sources say, particularly in light of Russian and Chinese activities in the region. Greenland holds significant strategic value, not only for its vast natural resources, but also as a key location for military control of the Arctic. Climate change is also making Arctic shipping routes more accessible, particularly in the summer months. This is currently being discussed informally by NATO nations. The documents outline measures to bolster deterrence and defense capabilities in the far north. We already have a presence in Greenland through the Pytafik space base, operated under agreements with Denmark. This base plays a role in missile warning systems, missile defense, and space surveillance operations.
This is very appropriate for our NATO nations to do. Our interest in Greenland is valid, but there are multiple ways to deal with the present and growing military importance of the Arctic region. We certainly cannot let Russia and China control that area.
And the Philippines recently offered China a deal, demanding it stop its aggressive behavior in the South China Sea in exchange for the removal of a U.S. missile system in the nation. The Philippines hosts our mid-range capability missile system, known as Typhon, since last year. Initially, this was just for exercises, but both nations decided to keep it in the country indefinitely. The land-based weapon can launch missiles for land attack, air defense, and anti-ship missions, and is capable of striking targets 1,000 miles away. China has territorial disputes with the Philippines in the South China Sea, and there have been frequent maritime confrontations. Manila has a security treaty with Washington that comes with mutual defense commitments, and Beijing has repeatedly raised objections to our missile deployment, denouncing it as a highly dangerous move. Philippine President Marcos said he will return everything if China stops its aggressive and coercive behavior in the South China Sea. Quote, stop claiming our territory. Stop harassing our fishermen and let them have a living. Stop ramming our boats. Stop water cannoning our people. Stop firing lasers at us, he said.
This is a bit shocking, but it's logical for the Philippines to try to make their home area safe. The challenge is trusting China to keep its word if an agreement is made. Perhaps the aggressive behavior that would be prohibited would include invading Taiwan.
And Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said military strikes against Mexican cartels are on the table. When asked whether our military would be willing to strike against cartel organization inside Mexico who are targeting Americans at the southern border, he responded by stating that all options are on the table. Hegseth also noted that the military is shifting its priorities toward an understanding of homeland defense at the southern border, while adding that President Trump will make the final decision regarding any strikes inside Mexico's borders.
I appreciate Hegseth's statement. President Trump is putting pressure on all nations that are giving us problems. Our military needs to be ready if they're needed in this and other situations.
And Iran's foreign minister said that any attack by Israel or the U.S. on Iran's nuclear facilities would plunge the region into an all-out war. He said Iran would respond immediately and decisively to any attack and that it would lead to an all-out war in the region. Concerns have grown in Iran that President Trump might empower Israel to attack Iran's nuclear sites while further tightening U.S. sanctions.
Any military attack on any part of any nation is an act of war. So, of course, attacking Iran's nuclear facilities would be an act of war, just like when Iranian students attacked and took over our embassy in Iran. Attacking an embassy is an act of war. But it doesn't have to lead to war. I expect that Israel will seriously look at an attack on Iran if Iran continues its current stated goal of eliminating Israel.
In addition to drones, used by both the Russians and Ukrainians, the large-scale invasion of Ukraine has enabled Russia to deploy one of its most powerful military technologies, supposedly the prerogative of its own industry and that of China, hypersonic weapons. Supposedly revolutionary, they're proving to be a flop. Their use in Ukraine is a world first for hypersonic weaponry. The speed and power of Russia's hypersonic missiles leaves little room for doubt with regards to their effectiveness. And yet, it appears that Moscow has limited the deployment of this type of missile, which requires advanced engineering and materials to withstand high heat. Strangled by sanctions, Russia has also found it difficult to produce them on a large scale, giving priority to drones. Ukraine's hypersonic missiles are particularly vulnerable to conventional air defense systems. In May 2023, Kiev claimed to have intercepted a Kinzhal missile for the first time, thanks to an American Patriot air defense system. Just 12 days later, Ukrainian forces claimed to have intercepted six via the same system. The Kinzhal, destroyed in May 2023, flew at speeds below those expected of a hypersonic missile.
So, hypersonic missiles are not, or at least not yet, the big problem for anyone. I have no doubt that further development will make them a real problem for all of us. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel. Then we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Jack Bergman. At ease, troops, take a break. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess with inflation going crazy up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. The current nation of Israel was founded in 1948. Some say Israelis took this land from the Arab people living there. That's not true. Here's the real story. The Ottoman Empire, also called the Turkish Empire, was an imperial realm that controlled much of Southeast Europe, West Asia, and North Africa from about the 14th century to the early 20th century. The Ottoman Empire sided with Germany in World War I. After that war, the victorious Allied powers occupied and partitioned the Ottoman Empire, which lost its southern territories to England and France. The successful Turkish War of Independence, led by Mustafa Atatürk against occupying allies, led to the emergence of the Republic of Turkey and the abolition of the Ottoman monarchy in 1922, ending the Ottoman Empire. Britain took over what is now the Palestinian area after World War I. Zionist immigration to that area began in 1881. The Palestine area was a barren, sparsely populated land under Ottoman occupation. The vast majority of the land was classified as dead land, swamps, deserts, and rocky terrain unsuitable for settlement. No one cared when the Zionists arrived there to settle the land of their original nation. For nearly 70 years, the Zionists legally purchased and revised the land, turning it into an economic hub that attracted a massive influx of Arab immigrants seeking work and prosperity. Does any of that sound inappropriate to you? During this time, the Zionists planted 12 million trees, drained deadly swamps, and eradicated malaria. They irrigated deserts and made them fertile farmlands. They built cities like Tel Aviv and brought in industry, banks, hospitals, and the like. They developed power grids and the Palestine Electric Corporation in 1923. They built ports, roads, and railways connecting the region. By 1948, the Jewish pioneers had turned a desolate landscape into a thriving economy. As a result, the Arab immigration exploded. This is confirmed by both British and Turkish records. British records show a growth in Muslim population of over 115,000 in the 9 years ending in 1931. These Arab immigrants seemingly blended into local communities, immigrating into existing cities and villages without distinct national identity. Many came from Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, and Transjordan, where the economic conditions were much, much worse. Today, the pro-Palestinian advocates claim the Zionists stole the land. The truth is that hundreds of thousands of Arabs voluntarily immigrated to Palestine, drawn by the economic boom created by the Zionist innovation on Zionist land. So by the end of World War I, there were over 220,000 Arabs in the region. Most of these immigrants blended into local communities, and their descendants now identify as Palestinians. By the beginning of the Nation of Israel in 1948, they numbered 350,000. By the way, during this period, the British blocked Jewish immigration, limiting Jewish immigrants to just 15,000 per year. Even after World War II, they blocked Holocaust survivors from entering the land, their ancient homeland. This is so outrageous, I can't even believe it. The Arabs, however, entered illegally, however and whenever they wished. So, who are today's Palestinians? Well, over 90% are modern Palestinian Arabs descended from immigrants who arrived from dozens of countries between 1830 and 1948. So most of the families who now demand the right to return have no ancestral ties to this land beyond the last 150 years, and the idea of a distinct Palestinian national identity only emerged in 1960, decades after most of their ancestors arrived from all over the Middle East and Africa. So the claim that the Palestinians were there first ignores the massive Arab immigration waves that occurred only after the Zionists developed the land. Israel is Israel, not Palestine. Today, Israel is the only democracy in the entire region. It's the only nation in the region where women are not restricted in what they can study or do. It is a nation that reasonably seeks to control its territory and protects its citizens. At one time or another, every nation in the area has tried to kill all the Jews. Today, it's Iran that's funding and guiding many terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis, whose mission is to kill Jews. These terrorist groups are, for the most part, supported by their Arab citizens around them. So, who's the enemy? I believe we will be truly supportive of Israel now, leaving them free to protect themselves in the way they think best. And we should refuse to provide any support for the attacking nations or groups. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and much more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, there's been a lot of changes since Trump became president a couple weeks ago. And one of the big ones is the executive order mandating that all federal employees return to the office and no longer can do any telework. Now, this has also included all military members and civilian staff of the Department of Defense. In fact, the U.S. Coast Guard released a memo canceling all telework agreements for all employees effective February 12th. Now, there could be some exceptions that the Coast Guard is calling extraordinary circumstances for things like family hardships, but those can only last for a maximum of 4 months. Now, this new policy applies also to reservists, whether they're in drill status or in active duty. Now, this could be an issue for some reservists, especially those that have been brought on active duty. You see, during COVID, it became popular to bring reservists on active duty to help augment the regular workforce. And in many cases, those reservists were authorized to work from another location or even from home. And it quickly became evident that this could also be a huge cost savings for the Coast Guard. Instead of paying for travel to the duty location, paying for hotel or housing, and a daily per diem for food and expenses, the service could get the help they needed and not pay those expenses. Now, this is very popular in places like Washington, D.C., where temporary housing can run $275 a night and meal and expenses could be $92 a day. So by having a member telework, the government could save over $130,000 a year in travel expenses, and that's per employee. Now, I do agree that there's been tremendous financial waste in our government and fully support working to make the federal government more fiscally responsible. However, I do think these policies need to be just a little bit more strategic. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Congressman Jack Bergman. Then we'll talk with Air Force vet and Dr. Ryan Freeland. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50 good ones, then stand at ease. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Congressman and retired Marine Lieutenant General Jack Bergman. Jack is the most senior ranking veteran to serve in our Congress, and he's a heck of a great guy. Welcome back, Jack.
Hey, Denny, thanks to be with all of you, your troops, you and everybody else.
Jack, please start by give us a quick review of your time in uniform.
Sure. I joined the Marine Corps, I should say became a Marine in the late 60s. Went to flight training, served a tour as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, came back, spent a couple of years as a flight instructor, and then decided to leave active duty. But I stayed in the reserves, commanded at all levels, different aviation units, logistics units. And some 40 years later, 2009, I retired at the rank of a lieutenant general out of command of the Marine Corps Reserve and Marine Forces North. And so I packed 40 years of proud service into my, one of my careers.
Indeed. And you just started your fourth term in Congress, if I remember right?
Actually, fifth.
Fifth. Wow. So you've been there long enough that you're not a newbie anymore, right?
Well, yes. And I think what's important is some of the things we might discuss today is that when I was a freshman here in 2017, there was another guy who was kind of a freshman, too, and that was Donald Trump. We both came in January of 2017 into this thing called elected office in the federal government, both of us coming from the private sector. And then, President Trump being back in for his second term now and me being here starting my fifth term, we're not the same people we were 8 years ago when it comes to understanding what good governance really means.
Yes, sir. So I suspect that the atmosphere in D.C. is quite a bit different now that Trump is president. Am I right?
Well, it is. And it's energized. And in its simplest terms for anybody, especially who has military background, is that you train, you prepare, and then you go to the fight, and then you adjust what you need to do in the fight to win. And I think when it comes to governing, at least for the past 4 years under the former Biden administration, there was no sense of urgency on the part of the president to actually govern and make tough choices. So now we're in the second President Trump term, and there is a sense of urgency to make good leadership decisions on behalf of the American people.
Well, nobody's perfect. Everybody makes some kind of mistakes. But my sense, and I'm not in D.C. like you are, is that there's a positive movement, and that not everything is moving. I don't know how you do that, but at least some things are moving and moving in the right direction, and that feels good. Are you sensing that?
Yeah, it is, because the positive, and this is not Democrat or Republican, because there are folks way out on the right and way out on the left who, they're here, but they may or may not be interested in as much as they need to be in good governance. So there are both Democrats and Republicans here who look at life from the middle of things and getting things done, that are excited to have a leadership at the top rung that enable the House to debate and pass good legislation and send it to the Senate. And the Senate will, debate it and pass it and send it to the president's desk for signature. I mean, that's kind of what we were designed to do here.
Well, you just pointed out the fact that it's not a pure party thing. A lot of stuff sounds like everything is pure party, but I'm glad that you're pointing out that it's not all like that.
Well, it's and I'm not pinging on the media, but news is news, opinion is opinion, but sometimes people have a hard time distinguishing because of the way it's presented in the media. The difference between opinion and real news. Opinion is being represented as news when it's just somebody trying to convince you of something that is not real.
Yeah, there's one thing between me trying to win you over on something, and another thing discussing about something that actually happened.
Yep.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Jack Bergman. What are a couple of the things that you see clearly moving in the right direction right now?
Well, what an odd concept that, again, that President Trump would campaign on certain issues than actually to try to do it. Number one, secure the border, because we know that whether it be illegal immigration or human trafficking controlled by the cartels, whether it be fentanyl, again, controlled by the cartels, President Trump said he would secure the border. And secure the border doesn't mean close the border. It just means secure it so that people trying to enter our country can do it legally. Okay? He's working on that. He's working on, and we're all working on that, but also to get our economy back on track where people are working, businesses are making money. Making money puts more money into the economy. People consume things, all of those things. So what we're seeing right now is the focus on the next steps of a healthy economy, which is going to include potentially tariffs. You've already seen that. And maybe, you know, the negotiations back and forth. But it all as it relates to a national security look at a healthy economy that brings countries around the world who want to participate in a healthy economy, gives them a chance and gives, you know, the United States a chance to be kind of that lead dog in the pack in most cases, just because we are such a huge, huge part of the world economy.
That makes real sense. And how can you not notice that what's been going on the southern border and the dealing with the people who are illegally and the cartels and stuff, that's been an obvious need. And it's certainly, that's not something they're just talking about. They're doing things now. And that's, in my experience in watching government, it's uncommon to see government this early in the term actually doing things. So that's a positive to me.
Well, it really is. And in the second term of the Trump administration, they came in prepared on day one to put a lot of balls in the air and start a lot of things rolling that we all know is the right thing for us to do. But in the last 4 years, we just, for whatever reason, could not prioritize them because of, again, I hate to keep going back to the lack of leadership at the executive level, but it is what it is. And so everybody who thinks rationally, again, not Democrat or Republican, sees the positive side of the beginning of the Trump administration already.
Yes, sir. I think it would be difficult, you know, if you wanted an ideal situation, both you and President Trump started learning about Washington, D.C. and politics there 8 years ago. You learn from it. He had a chance to live in it for 4 years, then watch a much less effective for 4 years. What a great school. If he ever was a time that we have the right person at the right time with the right experience, it's now. Is that a fair statement?
Well, it is. And, you know, we all learn from our mistakes, but we also learn from the mistakes of others. And shame on us if we don't. Because if we don't learn from mistakes, whether it be ours or others, then it shows we are not capable or not open to learning. And what I'm seeing again in the first few weeks here of the new administration, there was learning that took place, and we're attacking issues differently than we did 8 years ago.
There's more to discuss about our nation and our future, and Jack's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's the money I do. Well, I used to before I got into my mid-80s. I do about 64 now. Anyway, take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Veterans have unique health care needs from their time in service. They deserve access to timely and quality care.
Concerned Veterans for America continues working to get veterans the care they have earned.
We were instrumental in getting the VA Mission Act signed into law, and we fight every day for more reforms that expand healthcare access and options for veterans everywhere.
Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Congressman Jack Bergman. So, Jack, there's movement in the right direction, and not surprisingly, there are people from both parties that want to see positive movement for our country. It's surprising that positive movement feelings like that don't make the news, but the other stuff does. What are a couple of things that you see moving forward that we should start seeing in the next few months? I'm surprised we're seeing so much right now. But what do you see cooking?
Well, I think what you're seeing right now that's currently in the news are the potential for tariffs on countries around the world. But let's start with Mexico and let's start with Canada, our southern and northern border neighbors. And the news has been reporting on what the president did as far as initial action by the president on increasing or in some cases creating tariffs. There's going to be some back and forth. The first one that came up, of course, was with Mexico, and it was Trump action was 25% additional tariffs on imports. And the retaliation was, it was promised, but no details have been announced on that. But the resolution in the short term here is that there's going to be a pause for 30 days before the tariffs go in. So basically the strategy or the negotiating style with the Trump administration, with all of our trading partners, but especially those who share the border with us, again, Canada and Mexico, something's got to change. And if Canada or Mexico wasn't willing to initiate the change, President Trump said, okay, I'm going to initiate the change with tariffs. And that got people's attention, and now they're coming to the table. So I think that's one part of the strategy from the border side and from the economy side as a trading partner. But the other thing that you're going to see more and more of, I believe, from the Trump administration is the consideration of the question, is the United States a maritime nation or not? And we know the answer has to be, we are a maritime nation, because historically our oceans, Atlantic and Pacific, gave us safety and security because of the vast distances that, whether you're traveling from Europe or traveling from the Far East, our oceans protected us. Well, now those oceans are an avenue of approach, to use military terms. So I believe one of the things you're going to see going forward is the United States moving more towards focusing on the maritime nature of the world. And this is not just war fighting. This is shipping goods, maintaining sea lanes open, doing all those things that create a global economy that again, the United States is poised to lead because of our capabilities and where we're behind right now, I believe, as being a maritime nation, is in our training of mariners, whether they be in the Navy or the Coast Guard or the Merchant Marine or civilian, whatever it happens to be. So we've got a ways to go there. And also in the creation of our shipbuilding. Again, this is not just military ships, but all sorts of ships that can carry cargo and do different things on the ocean or under the ocean. I'm not talking submarines here, but I'm talking other forms of transportation via the sea lanes. So that's going to be, I believe, a really an important part of these next few years, again, in the Trump administration, to get the United States back on track to be a good maritime partner around the world with countries like, you know, South Korea, Taiwan, Finland, Sweden, other nations that are already committed to the maritime industry.
You know, that makes sense to me. I was reading somewhere, I don't remember the numbers now, but China has something like more than 30 times the shipbuilding capability that we have right now.
They've invested in it. But, you know, historically, while China may be ahead of us, one of the reasons China moves fast is they don't necessarily innovate or create. They're masters at the theft of intellectual property and other technologies. So they have taken advantage of us as a country in taking things that we spent all the R&D money and time and effort in creating, and then just copied it and just build it rapidly, because they don't worry about workforce, because China is not a free country and they just force people to do what they want them to do. That's not the United States of America, nor ever will it ever be.
That's absolutely true. But China certainly is a threat, and we do need to be strong economically, and we do need to be strong in a lot of ways, to include at sea, as you've been pointing out, if we're going to be the world power that we are.
Well, it's easier, you know, easy. It's kind of cool. You know, think people like to focus on things that fly and things that, you know, well, we're going to move everything via big transport airplanes, or we're going to do this or do that. And it's in the air and space. Sure. Are we going to do some of that? But that only represents a certain piece of the whole pie. And that's where the refocusing on maritime capabilities, both civilian and military, is essential going forward.
Well, it's certainly going to take some focus on being able to recruit people. I have some good friends in the Coast Guard. There are 7 Coast Guard cutters somewhere in the southern part of the United States that are just sitting there completely unmanned because they don't have anybody to man them. We need Americans to get back into support of our country, don't we?
We absolutely do. And that is the focusing of the, I'm not going to say it's marketing, but it's about exposing families and young boys and girls to how exciting and how fulfilling a career, or even just a few years in the maritime industry, can be for them as they're young people and want to see the world and get different skill sets and all of that. Too many people don't know the existence of one academy, which is the Merchant Marine Academy in Kings Point, New York. Everybody knows West Point. Everybody knows Annapolis. Everybody knows the Air Force Academy. And most people know about the Coast Guard Academy. But not enough people know about the Merchant Marine Academy, or they don't know about the state maritime academies, that Michigan has one, Massachusetts, Maine, New York, California, Texas. But too many of our young high school students don't even know these institutions exist. So it's incumbent upon us to open up their eyes to see what's potentially out there for them and get them excited about it.
Yes, sir. I remember several years ago on this show, I interviewed a guy, I can't remember his name now, but he wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he was himself very, very wealthy. And he
You know who he is, don't you? Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes, Robert Kiyosaki.
Well, you know why that's important? Robert and I were roommates in Vietnam.
Oh my goodness.
He's like a brother to me. And I'm sitting here in my office, literally looking at the cover of his book right now, because I have his book sitting here on my, you know, on my pedestal. So when people come in, so many times they'll say, "Oh, I've read that book." So, oh yeah, Robert, but he is a graduate, 1969 of the Merchant Marine Academy.
And he said he decided to go to that one because he did, at his rich dad's encouragement, he looked at how much people make when they graduate from a service academy or versus the Merchant Marine Academy. And I guess the Merchant Mariners make like twice as much as the military people do. So he went there.
Yeah, he did. Again, we've known each other since, 1971.
Small world department. Jack, we're about out of time. What final thoughts would you like to share?
Well, the final thoughts are, number one, to use an old phrase, there's a new sheriff in town here in D.C., and there's a lot of new, there's some sheriff's deputies, guys like me who are working to get good things done for the American people. Most of what we do is not Democrat or Republican. It's for the goodness of our country and the goodness of our people. And I just want to encourage people to, if you see something that you just not quite sure is true, do a little extra digging to make sure that what you're being told is factual, and don't get caught up in some of the, I guess the modern term would be clickbait, and some of the other stuff that's out there just to sensationalize things. But we've got the greatest country in the world because there are people like you and others and our generations before us who've made America great a long time ago. And now it's us. It's up to us. It's our generation's turn to keep that going.
Indeed. Jack, thank you. Thank you for your great comments and for your continuing service to our nation. I'm glad we're friends.
Hey, Danny, always a pleasure, and look forward to our next time.
You bet. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour meeting Air Force vet and Dr. Ryan Freeland. Then we'll discuss climate change with Greg Wrightstone and talk with former Border Patrolman Gill about our southern border. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag and military history. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for family defense and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you'll need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. So go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.